And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, the laundry list. The laundry list. Plus, we're going to talk about going to the bank and taking out a loan. Don't think that's finances yet, folks. And we're going to wind that down with, but what do I get? Well, that's what I want to know. And then we'll close it out with, he is the gold.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. It's a politics-free zone. It's a politics-free zone. Entertainment. It depends on what your level of entertainment is. And current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open, except for sauerkraut. That's right. And why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, but stand by for SRN News.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. A federal appeals court in San Francisco is set to issue its ruling in the legal fight over whether to reinstate President Trump's ban on travelers from seven predominantly Muslim nations. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals says it will release its decision before the end of the business day in California. The court is deciding whether to block a lower court ruling that suspended the ban and allowed previously barred travelers to enter the U.S. The Northeast's first major snowstorm of the season is affecting travel both on the ground and in the air. Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy says the state police has received hundreds of calls for service because of the snow.
A little over 100 accidents. We have five injuries. None of those are fatalities. We have seen various highway closures throughout the state from time to time.
Airlines, meanwhile, have canceled or delayed several thousand flights because of the weather. In Rhode Island, the heavy snowfall is making it hard for road crews to keep up. Governor Gina Raimondo has this advice for her state's residents.
Check in on your loved ones. You know, I called my mother earlier. She's tucked in. She's safe. If you have a neighbor who you know needs a hand, if you have a loved one, call them, make sure they're okay, make sure the heat's on.
A Manhattan doorman who was shoveling snow died after falling down stairs in a vestibule. Thousands are without power in the region, and a foot or more of snow has fallen from New York to Boston. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer says President Trump is delighted construction has begun on the last segment of the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline.
The construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline was one of the president's campaign promises and the subject of one of his first executive orders. The administration is pleased that Americans will be going to work building this pipeline and building it with American steel whenever possible.
Wall Street, a record high for the Dow Jones. This is SRN News.
Hi, this is Brian Newberry, pastor of Calvary Chapel, San Diego. I want to invite all the men out for our men's breakfast Saturday, February 18th. The theme is Run for the Prize. Special guest speakers include Pastor Mike McIntosh of Horizon, Pastor Mike Bucher of Calvary Chapel, Cleveland, with special guest worship from Calvary Chapel, Budapest, Hungary. To register, go online, calvarysandiego.com. Saturday, February 18th, Calvary Chapel, San Diego men's breakfast. Let us know you're coming by registering at calvarysandiego.com.
When most people hear the word leprosy, they wonder if it still even exists. But leprosy does exist. It's a disease that cripples and disfigures, sinking adults and children alike into lives of shame and isolation. The man with leprosy said to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me." Jesus said, "I am willing." Are you willing? You can stop leprosy. Right now, you have an incredible opportunity to help and heal children who are suffering. Because it costs only $90 to cure leprosy in 3 people, you can be the source of their healing. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." Give now to help those suffering with leprosy. Call American Leprosy Missions right now, 800-443-0838, 800-443-0838. That's 800-443-0838. Or give online at StopLeprosyNow.com.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
And now I'm asking you again.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you would like to reach the show, you are welcome to do so by sending an email to davidspoon@kprz.com. Now, I typically don't tell on my wife when she sends me a text in between the hours or in between the shows, but you know, I thought last hour went, you know, particularly well. It was a lot of fun teaching it, a lot of fun kind of looking at it. There was some serious stuff. There was some easy stuff. And so I kind of sent her a text, and then she just let me know, honey, we're not saving enough money. That's the reply from my mom, my wife. It doesn't matter that the show's going good or no, that we're not saving enough money. Okay. That's encouraging. Anyhow, I just thought I'd share that with you so that nobody in the audience thinks you're the only ones who go through this. We all go through this. I'm telling you, it's classic. All right, let's get ready. We are going to get into something called the laundry list. And so here's what I need you to do. If you've got your Bible and you're going to look at it, you're welcome to do so. You know, this is radio, so we move fast. This is going to come out of Matthew 6. Now, if you don't know that Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, we have to have a separate discussion, okay? Because you need to know that. Matthew chapter 6, going to take a peek at verse 31 and 32. Again, the laundry list, okay? All right. Matthew 6, 31, 32. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Okay. Let's talk about the prayer process. Because the reality is Jesus gave us a method by which to pray. When he said, pray this, and it's the what people call the Lord's Prayer, he said, pray in this manner, not this exact wording. And then he gives us the manner, you know, our Father who art thou in heaven. I can break that down. We've done that before on an expository. Our Father, not my Father, who art in heaven, gives the location as to where God is. You know, hallowed be thy name. First thing is praise. I mean, you just kind of go through it and you can break it all down. But what happens, or what I've noticed in my Christian walk is, okay, so this is what, February? What are we in, February-ish? Okay, so it'll be another 7 months and I'll have been a Christian for 40 years, which is a very, very short time. But I have learned a thing or two in that process. And here's what I've learned about my devotional time with the Lord. I've learned that in Scripture, devotional time is very powerful, as Abraham did not have a Bible, but was exceedingly close to God because of his communion with God. I think that's wonderful for people to know that if you are more into Scripture and you connect to God that way, there's nothing wrong with that, for it's the breath of God. But if you're more into prayer and you connect with God that way, there's nothing wrong with that. Abraham's a fine example and is used throughout the Old and New Testament as an example to follow. But what Abraham didn't do is something that I do and something that I shouldn't do, and I wonder if I'm the only one doing it or if you do it as well. I come before the Lord. I try to remember somewhat of the manner that Christ spelled out in prayer. I try to be completely honest. I try to be completely forward. But when I start praying, after I get through the acknowledgement phase and I get into my phase, all of a sudden, I have a laundry list. I have this list that I give God. Now, this list will typically, especially in our nation, typically involve some kind of financial discussion, right? If you're listening to my voice right now and you've been praying to the Lord for 40 years and you never bring up your finances, I want you to come down so I can interview you on the show. Because I have not yet been able to figure out that process. I have figured out that outside of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one miracle that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that's recorded in all four, there's only one miracle, by the way, one creative miracle that is in all of them, and that's the feeding of the 5,000. So it's the only one that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which I find ironic because I think it's God's super cool way of saying, I know you have needs, but if you just have two fish and five loaves, I can take care of it. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Lord can do anything. So I think that's a hidden thing. But I notice that when I come in prayer, I have a laundry list. I don't think it's wrong to have a list of people that you pray for. I don't think it's wrong to start with your family. I don't think it's wrong to start with your children. I don't think it's wrong to start with your spouse, your siblings, whatever the case may be. However that procedure is for you, whatever you're comfortable with, super duper. I don't think any of that's wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my list that I come before the Lord, and then I'm trying to, without saying these words, I'm trying to ply God. I'm trying to move God to get on my list and to take care of the things on my list, not so that I can just be thankful, but so that I can get to the next list. Because once I have that list done, I got these 15,000 other lists that are right behind it. And I know it's wrong for us to say, well, I'm trying to manipulate God. And of course, my desire is not to manipulate God, but it's, I want the Lord to respond to these things because they're the priorities and they're at the top. And they usually have to do in some capacity with finances and family. I mean, it's just some connect there, and then work itself. I mean, somehow it's all, you know, kind of boils in there. And then I tell God what I think I want to see, and that's me bringing the laundry list. Because I'm telling God what I think I want to see. Now, I don't think it's wrong to pray that the Lord blesses you at work and guides you and uses you. I think it's wrong for us to tell God how we think work should be and how God should make it happen the way we think it should happen. I think that's wrong. I was sharing with Tugboat Todd earlier today, and I'm a confessor, so it doesn't bother me in the slightest. You know, I mean, I've been, you know, every once in a while you want some attaboys from work people. It's hard to get. In radio, it's almost non-existent. It's almost like never happens. And that gets discouraging from time to time. Then you sit there and go, Lord, just give me the courage. Da, 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 da. And it's like, but what I want to do is manipulate the situation and have God say, presto, change-o, change all these people and how they think. But that's not what I should be doing. I should be surrendering. I should be yielding. If I have an issue, I should bring it to the Lord, but I should be submitting it and letting the Lord be the Lord and not me and my interpretation of how it should be the Lord. And I don't fear, I just acknowledge that more often than not when I pray, I love spending time with the Lord. I love talking to him, being in his presence. I talk to the Lord just as I believe. It's like he's right next to me. I don't see this, you know, huge gap or anything. I come in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no separation there. But there is this desire for me to see what I want to see accomplished more than there needs to be. That's my laundry list. Instead of coming before the Lord and accepting or acknowledging, I come trying to twist or alter, and you can bet your bottom dollar it's not to my disadvantage. Do you pray to your disadvantage? Not often. Then you think of Paul and Silas, who are in prison in Acts, and there they are. They're in prison. They're facing certain death from what we would think. And it's midnight, and not only are they not sleeping, they're praising God for their circumstance. That's wild. Because usually it's my circumstance that I bring to God saying I don't like it, and I'd like you to change it because I'm not happy with it. And here these guys are in jail for their faith, and they're just praising God. Or I'd like to have enough comfort that I could be like Peter, who was in jail. And you know what happened to him the night before he was supposed to be executed? He was supposed to be executed in the morning. You know what Peter was doing that night? Ready? He was sleeping. When was the last time you heard somebody sleeping? I'm just tired. I'm going to go sleep now. Well, you're dying in about 5 hours. Don't care. I need a little snoozer. It's like, what? But he was so secure in his relationship with his Lord. He was so connected to the Lord. He was like, that's fine. Then an angel comes and takes them out. That's the great thing about the Lord. What I do wrong is bring the laundry list. And what's silly about that is, don't you think God knows what I need? Look at this passage. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? How are we going to handle this? What's going to take place? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You know that thing you need? If you really need it, don't you think God knows it? That's the question. The things that you need, if you really need it, don't you think God knows it? I think he knows it. I think we want to move him in our direction so he does something about it the way we think something should be done about it. And that's a little bit dangerous. So when we get back, we're going to talk about going to the bank and taking out a loan. Some of you will really like this, and some of you will wish you turned the channel prior. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break, and we'll be back.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
What is it, Cassie? Uncle Bob is floating in water like a bad stock. Whoa! We better go help him. Uncle Bob? Uncle Bob!
Jimmy, over here!
Come on, Cassie. Let's help Uncle Bob out of that water well. Uncle Bob, how did you get into that water well?
Oh, I tried to fix my roof on my own.
Cassie says you should have used Excalibur Roofing, Uncle Bob. Cassie says you could have just called them at 760-743-8803. Cassie says you could also check them out at ExcaliburRoofing.com.
I bet Excalibur Roofing would have had me covered. And free estimates, too? Oh, gosh darn.
Golly, Uncle Bob. If you would have just typed in Excalibur Roofing in your search engine, you wouldn't be all wet.
You're right, Jimmy. I'll never forget. Excalibur Roofing.
The one who died as our substitute now lives as our advocate.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Mark DeHaan. From a Florida prison cell in June 1962, Clarence Earl Gideon wrote a note asking the United States Supreme Court to review his conviction for a crime he said he didn't commit. He added that he didn't have the means to hire a lawyer. 1 year later, in the historic case of Gideon versus Wainwright, the Supreme Court ruled that people who cannot afford the cost of their own defense must be given a public defender, an advocate, provided by the state. With this decision and with the help of a court-appointed lawyer, Clarence Gideon was retried and acquitted. But what if we are not innocent? According to the Apostle Paul, we are all guilty. But the court of heaven provides an advocate who, at God's expense, offers to defend and care for our soul. On behalf of his Father, Jesus comes to us offering a freedom that even prison inmates have described as better than anything they've experienced on the outside. It is a freedom of heart and mind. Whether suffering for wrongs done by us or to us, we can all be represented by Jesus. By the highest of authority, he responds to every request for mercy, forgiveness, and comfort. Jesus, our advocate, can turn a prison of lost hope, fear, or regret into the place of his presence. Now you can get Our Daily Bread delivered fresh to your inbox. Sign up for the email devotional when you visit odb.org. That's odb.org. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Bread. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
There's so much tension, so much pain. I hate these feelings, can't stand the strain. And I'm sick of this trap and the lies that the enemy's told. Stop that boy, don't let him go.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Tugboat Todd and I were talking on the break. I just think it was a great point that you brought up, and I would like the audience to hear it because people don't know. We talk about the things that take place inside, but we're not always super spiritual or anything, but we just talk about it. Like, what do you think of that? What do you repeat what you told me? I thought it was a great line.
Well, in that last segment here, we were talking about laundry lists of things and how we, you know, go on and on about stuff that we want from the Lord. And I was just thinking about how, in my mind, I picture off, I start my prayers. And I'm thinking about the other people that need help, and I just cover it real fast, like the micro machine guy. Lord, please help all those that need it now. And then it comes to me. I go, well, now for me. And I'm real clear and concise, and then I do my laundry list.
So you take it a little slower when it gets to you. Cover the people in mass that you need to pray for. Bless these people, bless this, the family, this, that. Now let's talk about me. Right? That's so true. When I was walking out, it's like, that's what people do. Lord, you look really thin this year. The sunset is beautiful. Bless all your people. All right, now let's cover me.
Let's get into what I think is important things.
It's an excellent point. So here is the element that I want to say, and this is a wonderful saying that was told to me about 35 years ago. Go to the bank, take out a loan, and buy a clue. Go to the bank, take out a loan, and buy a clue. This passage, right where the other one was, Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. Now, I know people are like, well, that's not nice. It's like, dude, believe me, that's nice. Trust me, you should sit at a Thanksgiving in the house years ago. You'd really appreciate how nice that is. Here is what we can say about getting a clue. Matthew 6, which we were just in Matthew 6, 31, 32. So now we're in Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That's the second time in Matthew 6 where Jesus says that. For a reference, sometimes we want a scriptural reference to back up another scripture. Isaiah 65, 24. Don't turn there, but just listen. Isaiah 65, 24 says, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The point there is how much God knows when we go into the prayer process. If the Lord is all-knowing, right, we don't need to fill in the blanks. So the honest question is, well, then why pray at all? Well, prayer is not to give God energy. It's to give you energy. Prayer is for you think you're praying for God's benefit? If you never prayed another thing, it wouldn't change who God is. If you never prayed another thing, it would change who you are. Prayer is not to inform God, but prayer is part of that intimacy, relationship, connection with God, where you pour out your heart to him. Does he know what's in your heart? Yes. But does he want his kids to spend time with him? Yes. And so prayer is that format, or that formula, I guess, that the Lord has chosen for us to utilize, that vehicle by which we commune with God. But the prayer is for your benefit, not his benefit. You're not filling in the blanks. And then if you look at the passage, Jesus, I'm trying to be super nice here. Jesus is like, okay, when you're praying, don't keep on babbling. That's the perfect Greek interpretation for that word, babbling versus talking. Because there's talking, and they're just blah, 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 yada, 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 yada. It's just saying that that's the same thing. Or you're saying a repetitive prayer 9,000 times. You know what God's like going, it's not ooze. It's like, what? Talk to him. Why do you think it's a prayer? You know, if I say 1,986 words, he'll say yes. Is that what we're going with? It's the amount of words? I know somebody who's really going to enjoy this portion. Ready? I know this. Somebody's really going to like this. Remember how we said less bark, more wag, more tail wagging, less barking, right? Here, this one says this: less blab, more listen. Psalm 46, verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Here's a fascinating thought. Sometimes you come into the presence of the Lord and you open it up however you're going to open it up. My King, my Lord, our Father, however you're going to go. You're not going to get in trouble for doing your best to address God. There's not the, well, you didn't address me as my holy, totally awesome, totally cool dude father up in the sky, so I'm not listening to you. Like, it doesn't work that way, all right? That's absurd. If my sons or my daughter calls me up and they go, hey, dad, hey, father, hey, pops, hey, whatever, I'm not going to turn them away. I'm their father. I respond to my children. Okay, so God's not sitting there going, well, you got to address me a certain way or I can't talk to you. If you think that's really what's going on, either you are a terrible parent or your parents were terrible parents. It's ridiculous. The Holy Spirit inside you urges, cries out, Abba, Father is what, yeah, that Holy Spirit moves on your spirit to say, Dad, Dad. There's no one right way. There's just a little bit of silliness that goes in there. But here is something fascinating. Once you do that and you've connected and you connect through Jesus Christ, because that's the line, that's if you want the phone line open and you want it to carry, you know, plenty of data, so to speak, it's got to be the line of Jesus Christ. And here's what the Lord says. Yeah, you can get before me. That's fantastic. You know, be still. The hardest thing for people to do is to be still. It's to come before the presence of the Lord. And you know what happens? You think, I need to fill the air because nothing is happening. So I need to say something or do something or wave my hands or move back and forth. Or I need to do something because I'm not saying anything and God's not saying anything. And this has got to be uncomfortable for God. Really? Maybe it's uncomfortable for you because you're at a high level of engagement and entertainment and you haven't learned just to sit and be quiet. Ooh. Did you know in the times of old, they used to sit and be quiet for hours? For us, if we do it for minutes, it's excruciating. I got to fill the air. It's empty. Nothing happening. Sometimes it's less blab, more listen. And you want to know what's fantastic? You might not hear a single thing. And maybe God doesn't want to say a single thing to you other than just come to me. And you just come to him. You see, not every encounter with God has to have fireworks and little sparkles and, you know, little glittery things. things and, you know, Baby Ruth candy bars and milkshakes. And it's not everything has to be that way. Sometimes you can just come before the Lord and say nothing. A good example is in Job when the comforters came and said nothing for quite some time. Because sometimes just being with somebody in their presence is the best thing. One of the great things that I learned by accident and by mistake, can I say by mistake because I did it wrong, is sometimes, as hard as it is for me, I'm not supposed to say something when my wife says something. She doesn't always want an answer, the solution of life. Now, for me, being a talkathon, it's tough. And she doesn't know how much I restrain now. If she did, she'd freak out. But sometimes you just say nothing and just be there. Well, sometimes you just hang out with the Lord and don't say anything. That's being still and knowing that he's God. And that's fine. All right, when we come back, we're going to really put it on there because we're going to ask the question, but what do I get? That's the question we're going to ask. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. I'll be back.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Maranatha Christian Schools is a premier college preparatory program serving preschool through 12th grade students in San Diego. Join us for our junior high and high school info night and elementary open house on Thursday, February 16th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. This is a perfect opportunity to get to know us and hear why our students are thriving in academics, athletics, performing arts, and our many programs. Our principals will be there to answer all of your questions. Maranatha Christian Schools is distinctly academic and undeniably Christian. For more information about Maranatha Christian Schools, open house, and info night on Thursday, February 16th, go to maranathachristianschools.org. That's maranathachristianschools.org. Or call 858-759-9737. That's 858-759-9737.
When most people hear the word leprosy, they wonder if it still even exists. But leprosy does exist. It's a disease that cripples and disfigures, sinking adults and children alike into lives of shame and isolation. The man with leprosy said to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me." Jesus said, "I am willing." Are you willing? You can stop leprosy. Right now, you have an incredible opportunity to help and heal children who are suffering. Because it costs only $90 to cure leprosy in 3 people, you can be the source of their healing. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." Give now to help those suffering with leprosy. Call American Leprosy Missions right now. 800-443-0838. 800-443-0838. That's 800-443-0838. Or give online at StopLeprosyNow.com.
There is nothing more powerful than a life of integrity. Nothing. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Nothing stands the tests of life like solid character. You can handle the blasts like a steer in a blizzard. The ice can form on your horns and you keep standing against the wind and the howling, raging blizzard because Christ is at work deep within your spirit. The scripture reads, "Keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." Whether we like it or not, others are watching and they are evaluating. A life of integrity speaks volumes to those who are observing us.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Well, this has been a challenging word, not just to share with you, but to hear myself. Because, you know, when people talk, you hear. When my mouth speaks, my two ears hear what I'm saying. And I, too, have a lot of work to do as I look at me processing in my own life of prayer the laundry list that I bring before the Lord. And then the ridiculousness of my overly Americanized need to fill the air when I'm spending time with God, not able to just sit there and be quiet in his presence, thinking somehow that the multitude of words impresses God. It's ironic because God, of course, creating the human being, creates the mouth, one, the ears, two, which probably means we should listen twice as much as we talk just by testimony. But it's more ironic that the scripture says God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Ouch. It's really tough when you're in a position like mine. I can just tell you that. So I want to key in on the best, what I think is some of the best part of grasping what prayer does or what prayer is or what prayer should be. Maybe those are three different takes depending on how you're going to hear about what I'm about to say. So we talked about the laundry list. It's not a good idea to come before the Lord and have your laundry list that you think God needs to take care of so that you can be happy. That's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to come babbling and doing repetitive prayers over and over again, since God is not impressed with that. And I understand there are major religions and major belief systems that are close to Christianity, and even some that profess Christianity that say the same prayers over and 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 over. Isn't that annoying? If that's annoying to you and me, and I did that for 10 seconds, how about those prayers going on for 30 minutes? It's the same prayer over and over and over again. I think the Lord's like going, you know what? That's enough. In fact, this reminds me of a story which I wasn't going to share, but now I am going to share it. And please try not to be offended. But when I was a younger boy in the Christian faith, and I was there with my brother and Larry and Bruce, the four of us, four Jews from Detroit, known as the Four Musketeers in Phoenix, Arizona. We went to a whole bunch of churches, and we went to one church in South Phoenix. It was an African-American church. You see, we had no color schematic. We were the only four white Jewish people that church had ever seen in their lives. And they had something called Testimony Night. Now, let me explain to you about Testimony Night. This was an independent Pentecostal church, and Testimony Night meant testimonies. So we're sitting there, and it's new to us. You know, first of all, they can all sing, they can all clap, and they can all, you know, keep time. And I am very awkward with music, so that is a really bad thing, right? So I'm already feeling like a duck out of water. And they're testifying. And the pastor coordinates the testimonies, and the person comes up front, and they testify and share what's going on. And they'll say something and answer to prayer. And as they start off, and the testimonies were going, and the pastor's name was Pastor Smith. If my brother is listening right now, he's just laughing right now because of the story I'm going to tell you. It's absolutely true. And so we're sitting there, and they had a piano, and they had a few instruments. And on the piano, in the corner of the piano, was a bell. So they get up there, and they're starting to testify. And one by one, every person in the church, probably about 50 people, one by one, they testify. And they're fearless. I mean, where I learned some of my fearlessness was going to this church. And they go, and they're testifying, and they get up there, and they'll acknowledge the Lord, say, praise the Lord, and they acknowledge the Lord, and then they'll share what that great thing is that happened, and then they'll close it with praise the Lord, and they're sharing, and they're going on, and it's all these things that God has done in their lives. Fantastic. But this one lady gets up there, and she, I know she was super excited, but she got into the you know syndrome. And if you're familiar with that, that's when you say you know about, you know, 15 times in a very short period, you know. just keep doing it and doing it. And for those that are unaware, you know, it happens for politicians. Even the last president had one speech where he got really caught up and said, you know, about 16 times in a 2-minute span. It happens. It's nothing bizarre to him. But she got up there and she was testifying. And a couple minutes go by and a couple minutes go by. And she was saying, you know, and praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you had to find the testimony between the you know and the praise the Lord for where she was going with the testimony. And she gets there, and she goes 5 solid minutes, 6, 7 solid minutes, still trying to pull the testimony out, giving us about 9,000 you knows and 9,000 praise the Lord. Pastor Smith walks over to the piano and dings the bell. 4 Jews, believers in Jesus Christ, in an all-black church, only guys in there, South Phoenix. She's going on. He dings the bell and says, sit down, sister. I believe that's enough. And we lost it, right? It was the funniest thing I had ever seen in a church ever by a long shot. Half the people were laughing more than we were. Sit down, sister. I believe that's enough. It was the greatest church moment, I think, just that one moment. But you see, that illustration is a great illustration for extreme repetitiveness that does not do what the goal is. You see, the goal in prayer is not to be heard on your end. God would hear you no matter what. If you couldn't speak, God would hear your prayers. You understand that, right? He reads the hearts and the mind. But the goal in prayer is, one, to glorify the Lord, and two, to glorify the Lord, just so you don't get confused. So I'm going to read you a passage out of Isaiah 43, and then just a short one out of Colossians 1:18. But I want you to catch this in Isaiah 43. If you're trying to flip in your Bible, but you can't do it, want the notes, let me know later. But here's what it says in Isaiah 43, which is right before Jeremiah, the book Jeremiah 43:5-7. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory. You see, you live because of the glory of God. You exist. And so when you are praying, you're simply communing and connecting to that which brings glory and honor to God. Now, Colossians 1:18 puts this in a preeminent position. Listen to this. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. That includes your prayer time. That Jesus Christ is supposed to be supreme in your prayer time. Again, Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He's supposed to be preeminent and supreme in your prayer time. Because this is about the glory of God. This is about honor to him. It's not about our repetition in words. It's not about our laundry list. It's not about us babbling off the same prayer or the same statement over and over again. That's not what it's about. It's about him. And you get to hang with him. And when we miss that about prayer, we're kind of missing prayer. You get to unload your heart, but you get to unload your heart upon him who carries your burdens for you because he cares for you. And you get to pour it out before him, but it's to God's glory that we commune, to our benefit, to his glory. Prayer is not about a selfish act. It's about an act of communion. If your prayer is less than communion, then your prayer is less than. Get it? When we get back, we're going to talk about God and gold. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Don't go anywhere. It's breaking me.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hi, this is Brian Newberry, pastor of Calvary Chapel, San Diego. I want to invite all the men out for our men's breakfast Saturday, February 18th. The theme is Run for the Prize. Special guest speakers include Pastor Mike McIntosh of Horizon, Pastor Mike Bucher of Calvary Chapel, Cleveland, with special guest worship from Calvary Chapel, Budapest, Hungary. To register, go online, calvarysandiego.com. Saturday, February 18th, Calvary Chapel, San Diego men's breakfast. Let us know you're coming by registering at calvarysandiego.com.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
When most people hear the word leprosy, they wonder if it still even exists. But leprosy does exist. It's a disease that cripples and disfigures, sinking adults and children alike into lives of shame and isolation. The man with leprosy said to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me." Jesus said, "I am willing." Are you willing? You can stop leprosy. Right now, you have an incredible opportunity to help and heal children who are suffering. Because it costs only $90 to cure leprosy in three people, you can be the source of their healing. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." Give now to help those suffering with leprosy. Call American Leprosy Missions right now, 800-443-0838, 800-443-0838. That's 800-443-0838. Or give online at StopLeprosyNow.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Man, we're having a good time challenging one another in the faith, which is what we're supposed to be doing, urging one another on, encouraging one another, challenging one another. Our time is very limited. I only have a couple minutes left, so I want to get this last segment in. I've actually given it a title called "He Is the Gold." Do we have a song?
Look, I found a piece of gold. Yep, I found a piece of gold.
How did you find that? Where did you find
magic that? Of the interwebs.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, so here's the bottom line to the whole thing. We talked about the laundry list. We talked about going to the bank and taking out a loan and buying a clue that we need to be more quiet in prayer, more still in prayer. That's really a kind of a big goal, and not just babbling along. And then I tried to give you that example of something that happened in our own lives, and then really nailed it down, I think, when we talked about prayer being to the glory of God and for our communion's sake, for our outpouring. Prayer is our communion with the Lord. It is often called, by the way, the heartbeat of Christianity. It's a very important process. While scriptures might have to do with the bones, the prayer time is the heartbeat and the flow of the blood. So, and that's just an analogy some people have used. So I just want to get to the bottom line so as not to miss it, and that's coming out of Psalm 73. I'll give you a second to get there. Psalm 73. And again, if you don't know where the Psalms are, I did do this at once at church, though. I did say, turn to the book of Hezekiah, and people are flipping through their Bible. You know, it's like, you got to know what the books are. It's kind of important to know the address. Psalm 73, verses 25 through 28. Listen to this and understand this in the context of prayer. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. Oh, so beautiful. Here's a big portion of understanding prayer. Ready? You're going to love this if you just listen to this. The big portion of prayer, big portion of prayer is enjoying God. Period. Don't need, this is not huge theology steps. A big portion of prayer is enjoying God. Enjoying God does not mean dribbling words out of the left and right side of our mouths. What it means is that we're getting closer and closer each time we spend time with God. I will tell you this, and I make no bones about it. I have no reservation about this. When my wife and I, we first met, the first time we talked, we started talking about 8 o'clock. And this is exactly what happened. That first night, we finished talking. This is the first time we ever talked together. We met each other but didn't know each other. The first time we talked and shared some of our lives together. That night, we finished at 3 in the morning. The next day, we came back and we met about 9 o'clock, and we finished that at about 3 in the morning. The next day, I came back and we met about 8 o'clock again, and we finished that at 3 in the morning. And we did that almost 6 nights in a row. And every night was better than the night before, as every time we would communicate with each other, we would draw in closer. Does that mean that we have like this perfect marriage? No, it's the illustration. Although we have a really close to perfect marriage. The point is this. We kept drawing closer and enjoying each other's time. And the more time we spent, the more we got to know each other, the more we wanted to spend time together. So in our relationship, we've spent one night apart in our entire marriage. And I regret that day. It's like my only, you know, you're not supposed to have regrets. Well, I regret that. So here's the bottom line. The more time we spend with God, the more we get to touch base with him and commune with him, the more we see he already understands all of us. It's our job to get to know him. And so when we're spending time, he's not getting information. He's spending time with us and enjoying us. We're enjoying him and getting closer as we get to know him more and more and more. If you and I could see why Jesus spent nights in prayer, where it says that he spent the evening and the whole night in prayer, because spending more and more time was enjoying the presence of God and getting closer and closer. Now, in Jesus' case, it has a little bit of a variation, since he comes directly from as he is, you know, God and man. But in our variation, that's the example that's set for us. And what we got to do is push past that flesh in us that says, I'm coming to prayer and here's my list, and just say at least once, I'm coming to prayer so I can enjoy you. Isn't that the key? Wouldn't that be the fantastic way for us to commune with God? Isn't that the way to get closer? If we could see prayer as opposed to just a discipline, which, by the way, in spiritual formation, they really think it's a discipline, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you can get past that a little bit and see prayer as enjoying God, You'll understand why we're spending eternity with God, and you'll want to spend eternity with God because you're already spending time with him. And then you get closer and closer. I'll close with this because I only got 30 seconds, but just listen to this verse. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. As for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. Oh, that would be all of our prayer and posture and position in life. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a 22-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.